Welcome to the City Beautiful Church podcast. Thank you for taking the time to join our family as we strive to live together in heavenly reality. For more great content, visit us online at citybeautiful.ch.
All right. Thanks for sitting down, everybody. Happy Father's Day to everybody, every father in our community and extended community. If you're here with your dad, raise your hand. That's right. Cool. Honestly, I found out a couple months ago that this was going to be the morning that I was going to be preaching. It was while Jenna was preaching a word on moving from resentment to gratitude. And we had come home from an all-inclusive trip in the Dominican on the Saturday night, and I came here on a Sunday morning. And I kind of came here believing that, it wasn't going to work out this time for Victoria and I, if you know what I mean. We've been trying for a while. We had been trying for a while. And that morning I came in here kind of in a spirit of pure resentment. Like, it was crazy how that was the movement that morning. God would have orchestrated it that way. And I just kind of sat there and wrestled with God throughout the entire worship, message, sermon. Afterwards, I beelined out of here. I didn't really look at anybody in the face that day. And during worship, speaking, kind of piggybacking off of last week's conversation about moving from prayer, moving from worry to prayer, and how Ryan and Bree just invited us to cultivate this like unfiltered honesty with God and not editing ourselves to become more palatable to him in these moments. But that morning, there were expletives in my wrestling with the Lord. But anyways, all that to say, I found out that day that I was going to be preaching this morning, and it made it a little bit worse. And in any case, I ran home. One second, I'm just going to get something back here. So I ran back home, and my lovely wife had ordered this pizza for me. It was just sitting there. And I opened it up, and the Hodges got a bun in the oven. Now, I've kept this pizza box for 2 months just for this moment. There's going to be a little picture up there. It's a little strawberry this morning, you know. But I mean, it really brings me back to that moment of unfiltered honesty that I had with the Lord in that moment. I feel like we've all kind of been on this journey throughout this series, this kind of banner, this vision that we have as a church to be strong and take heart. And this series that we're going through is very much just a conversation. It really is inviting us into spiritual formation, like moving into Christian maturity. What does that look like? And last week, Bree and Ryan really just kind of laid the framework for what we're going to talk about today. It's kind of an extension of last week. But one of the lines is, we come to God expectant because he's always listening. He's always close and he's always speaking. And today, like last week, we went from worry to prayer, and today we're actually going to dive into what it looks like to move from fear to love. So there's like the umbrellas of all of these things. You have fear and you have love. And so as our fears get exposed to the light, the love of God clothes us to be transformed by Christ. This is kind of where we're headed today. I think a lot of us do the work. We dive into soul care, counseling. We exercise measures of transparency in our relationships with friends and with family. But what if our fears come raging out of hiding unexpectedly? Like, there are these moments in life that come as a surprise because we've been hiding things away for so long and letting them fester. Even while we do a beneficial, fruitful work of taking care of these things over here, there's still a lot of things that are kind of off limits, that we keep off limits, and we don't even realize it. And so sometimes those things come up by surprise. So how do we hold them in those moments when our fears actually kind of rage out of hiding and come out and they surprise us and we have to hold it, the process in tension? And I'm just saying that today my proposal is that the love of God is the only answer to that. The love of God clothes us to be transformed in those moments. And so one of the things that I've also been touched by throughout this entire series is just the phrase, be strong, take heart. As a follower of Jesus, it needs to be defined. Like for me, I'm a deep thinker, and I think in abstracts and I speak in abstracts. Thank you, Jenna. And I've been just thinking about that all week. But I'm like, I can't speak fully in abstracts, but I have to because that's how I do things, right? So this entire series has reminded me that, like, how much we rely on the strength of Christ, not our own strength, or on the heart of God in Christ, not our own heart. But there are these moments that we need to be reminded that we are being clothed in the strength of Christ and being clothed in the heart of Christ. Like, it's so important to actually give that to the Lord. Like, we can't just give that to ourselves and say that this is a work that we're doing on our own. But as we learn to navigate through these movements and grow in these movements, that we are actually putting on the character and nature and likeness of Jesus as we are his followers and we worship him and we seek his face. So we're going to extend the conversation from our Go Deeper series. Who went through the Go Deeper conversation last week in their community groups? No one? One, two, maybe half a dozen. So we're gonna do it together this morning. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 10. I'll pray first, and then we'll get into the reading and the rest of the message. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we can gather here, the privilege it is to gather here in your presence as your children. God, we are so grateful for the ways that you teach us, that you lead us and you shape us and you speak to us sensitively, that you protect us in ways that we have yet to even realize. But God, just, we want to praise you. We want to seek your face. There's a lot of things that are going, that we bring into this room from our weeks. And God, I just pray that that you give us the courage to just have that conversation with you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord's, you his holy ones, for those who fear him have no want. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. This is the word of the Lord. So even, again, piggybacking from last week, from worry to prayer, we see here in this psalm that the heartbeat is to, when we find ourselves ensnared in times of trouble or desperation, where we are actually needing deliverance out of a particular fear or fears, that the heartbeat is ceaseless praise and ceaseless seeking of the Lord's face. That is what this psalmist is getting across in the first 10 verses. It's a very singular focus. It's one of those, seek ye first the kingdom in all his righteousness and everything else will be added unto you. Well, this is like a ceaseless praise and a ceaseless seeking the face of God in the face of troubles. Like verse 5 says, look to him, be radiant. Be radiant. This is the language of love that we see the narrative in the Bible where it paints a picture between a bride and his bridegroom. And we are the bride of Christ, and Christ is our bridegroom. Look to him, be radiant. There is no shame in the radiance of Christ. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, this should be a familiar invitation. It's almost like the impossible surrender, because we want to take control of these things. We want to protect ourselves. We want to hide behind these things and not necessarily go all the way with God. Like, this is intimacy with God. This is, when it boils down to it, it's intimacy with God. It's the highest calling to abandon these worries, or actually renounce them or give them to Jesus and to seek after him. It's where we receive our identity as children of God. But it's not that simple, because as I mentioned, we kind of internalize our fears. And what I've noticed about myself is that kind of fear lurks in the shadows. It's like there's some fears that I'm working through intentionally, and Victoria and I, we talk about it, and I talk about it with friends, and I talk about it in our community groups, and with Ryan, and with different mentors. But then some fears I've noticed kind of just linger in that back box that I've packed behind a bunch of other boxes, and I'll get to it later. But then all of a sudden, it comes back. And so fear, and that is, those are the things, like fear offers us something in return, like a sense of control, where we place our wants or our worries or our understanding of situations or our anxieties at the center of our identity. We say like, oh, it feels right to keep this thing hidden. And that's the fear that I want to speak to. I think that we all have, and fear is a common thing in our society, and it's a common thing for everybody in this room, and it's a common thing for me too. But what happens when we allow our fears to kind of fester in hiding? We get coaxed into believing this lie that actually fear protects us. That fear protects us, and that it's sort of to choose vulnerability and honesty and radical transparency is just gonna bring on all kinds of trouble on me. And maybe that's true, but there's that thinking. I'll subtly believe that lie, and then I'll go, well, fear protects me, so I'm gonna keep this hidden because I don't wanna hurt anybody. And I believe, based based on the conversations that I have with some of us, and myself included, is that, and even the season that this nation is heading into, that's what another thing, is the Spirit is fighting to inhabit that space specifically in followers of Jesus. If you call yourselves followers of Jesus, this message is for you, that the Spirit is wanting to inhabit that space where we store our fears, not just from each other, but actually from God himself. Like, that there is this, when we decide to follow Jesus, there's this refinement of character that happens, and naturally things just come out into the light. Well, we've talked about the new heavens and new earth before in this space, and the picture that we get of the new heavens, new earth has no shadows, gets its light from the Lamb and the Lion, right? And so we need to understand that we need to anticipate when we're following Jesus, our character will be refined, and that's God's grace. And so we come to him, and this is the truth. But when our fears are more convenient to hide behind, we forfeit the gift of receiving and embodying the grace of God. We all together stop thinking Christianly. We stop thinking like followers of Jesus when we choose to hide behind our fears. It becomes more convenient to shelve them and not have them out in the open. So I want to speak to some of those things on a societal level. You know, maybe it's people waving the Nazi flag outside of Disney. How did that make you feel? Or maybe it's the pride flag flying high at the White House. I mean, talk about a clear invitation to be shaped in anticipation of what's to come. Especially when it comes to how a follower of Jesus responds in that kind of season. But on a personal level, maybe you're looking at a disease that's outside of your control. Maybe someone you love decided to take their own life and you're still asking questions. Maybe you're dealing with addiction behind closed doors. Maybe the friends you cared about stopped caring back. Maybe you thought you were going to get more out of this church or a community group in this church. Maybe you aren't able to get unstuck out of not being able to get to the next level of a relationship. Maybe it's someone who broke your trust or who severed it. What do I do next? Maybe it's someone you let into your space only to be taken advantage of or mistreated. I think this happens to everybody. I think this is a normal thing. It's a common thing that we have all experienced in our lives one way or another or been affected by. So what do we do? What's beyond that? When we choose to let those things sort of shape us, where we just kind of stop and we become arrested by these things, we're forfeiting the very intimacy that God offers us to receive. I think the tragedy here is like the root of fear. We see it in the garden where Adam is hiding behind a bush in the garden, and the tragedy of the Lord having to ask Adam, "Where are you?" Like, that's a tragic, like, Adam is fearful of the sound. He's fearful of the sound of God in the garden. So he hides behind a bush. And the Lord is looking for him. And intimacy has been severed at this point. And it is God himself walking in the garden, asking Adam, like, "Where are you?" Like, where are you? How tragic is it? When I sat with that question for a significant amount of time this past week, and it's a sad scene to think about. And we answer, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. I think we need to realize that no one is exempt from this kind of posture. And I just think, you know, when we come to the Lord, when we come in this place, we're reminding ourselves of the way that God demonstrated his love for us. The cross in the foreground gives us the freedom to come to his throne with freedom and confidence. And so with everything that we are, going back to what, you know, the radical sort of just honesty that we have the freedom to have that conversation with the Lord. Christ desires to lead every part of our being. He wants to clothe every atom, every broken weight, every grief, every loss, every hard situation, every fear. He wants to shape, he wants to clothe. And we got to hear these words from him himself. For nothing is hidden that will not be disclosed. This is Jesus in Luke 8:17. He says, for nothing is hidden that will not be disclosed, nor is anything secret that will not become known and come to the light. Like, it's inevitable as followers of Jesus that our fears will come to the surface. And it is the cross that simultaneously gives us the strength and heart to hold those fears in the process, because that's the love of God. That's the crux of our faith. Only love has the power to win the war against fear. So clothing ourselves in the love of God, it recalibrates us as his disciples. It tethers our heart to the sacrifice of Jesus. Like, when fears are actually coming to the surface and we are in pain because of those fears are coming to the surface, it's only the love of God that tethers our heart to the sacrifice of Jesus. Like, we are reminded of how far Jesus went just to be in this moment with us. Like, I did this all so that I could sit here with you and hear you. Trust me and have this conversation with me that I can change things. I can transform things. You could put me on. You could put this on me, and you could put me on, and I will show you how I'm going to take this curse and turn it into a blessing. But it's an impossible surrender. It's something that, even for me personally, it just comes up against the hard-heartedness of every human being. And I think the root of that is fear. I think we all know it. And I mean, it says perfect love casts out all fear. I'm pretty sure that everybody in this room is afraid about something, right? Like, I mean, we're all more or less concerned. We could dress up the language. I could be concerned. I'm concerned that you believe this, you know? Like, there's a lot of ways that we dress it up too. But I think, like, it's very purposeful, you know, that perfect love casts out all fear, and that God is love. Like, he is the sum and substance of love. Like, Jesus demonstrated God's love on the cross. And sometimes, like, it's too easy, right? It's too easy. It feels like I'm copping out by praising him for what he's done and seeking his face in what he's done, so that all these little, I wouldn't say little fears, all these fears, like, all of a sudden seem a lot smaller in his presence and in his lordship and in his sacrifice and in his love. We were in a series on Christian virtue, I think this time last year. And I mean, the Apostle Paul writes this in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And all of us jumped out of our seats. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. But above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Ceaseless praise, ceaseless seeking. I mean, love transcends in a way because I think we've cheapened it a little bit. And if love is fully demonstrated in the person and life and death and resurrection of Jesus, I mean, love is something that we praise, and love is something that we seek. It's not something, it's something that we have, that we possess for sure, but it's something that we are constantly becoming on this side of eternity. And so there's this hunger and thirst for more of this love. And this is the love that binds everything together in perfect harmony. And for a follower of Jesus, it looks like Jesus. It looks like Jesus here with us in this place this morning, ministering to us. It looks like the Holy Spirit just reminding you about how God has held you through hard seasons and continues to be with you through good seasons, through the ebbs and the flows of life. But this message kind of eluded me a little bit. It was hard. Because God is love. How do I preach about that? Putting on the clothing of Jesus. Putting on his words and his ways. And I have to be so familiar with Jesus. The Lord of Lords. It's wild. This is grace, so we receive it. And the only way that we can receive the love of God is through ceaseless praise and ceaseless seeking of his face. Really is the only thing. So today, we're going to do something a little bit different. We do this thing called Lectio Divina here, where we kind of enter in to the scripture reading together. But today we're going to do a Visio Divina with a Rembrandt painting, The Storm on the Sea of Galilee. Beautiful little painting there. So I'm going to read through Mark 4, verse 35 through 41. And you could close your eyes. And then once they open, I actually posted a couple frames on the Slack channel. We're going to take 3 minutes to kind of enter in to this painting. And I'm going to invite you to jot down some reflections and observations that you see. And I'm just going to read the scriptures slowly and just let them wash over you. And then we'll go into the Visio Divina part. I invite you to close your eyes. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great gale arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. but he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Again, there's some frames posted up on the Slack if you want to get a little bit more into the painting. I invite you to jot down whatever it is that you notice, whatever the Spirit is lighting on you. I invite you just to jot down, convert into prayer what it is that's coming to you and how that passage spoke to you. Maybe some of the fears that you're holding, like in this current season, and how this message is sort of speaking to that, and inviting the Lord into that. I'm going to invite the team back up. I think we have to risk. I think sometimes, you know, when our fears seem so overwhelming to handle, I think we have to take that risk to step into the love of God, step out in faith. If we desire to see God move in power, and we're holding our fears away, at a certain moment, we have to take risks to see God move in power. It may feel like you don't want to do it, but that's the invitation. We live with such extraordinary control over our circumstances. Our lives are pretty comfortable. I think we've done everything in our power to curate that. But when it comes to fear, when it comes from moving from fear to love, that at one point we need to abandon our old self. We need to abandon the ways of shame. Respond in worship. Again, if there are things happening in your life, I invite you to come down and receive prayer here on the left or the right. We're going to have leaders that will be ready and willing to pray over you during worship. Thank you. Heavenly Father, sometimes there are little words that try and explain how much you love us, because you just do. God, I confess the ways that I have hidden from you. I confess the ways that I've hidden from my brothers and my sisters. Heavenly Father, all of us in this room are your children. And we desperately, desperately need you to continue refining our character, refining our integrity, refining us in the ways that you've invited us long ago on this journey. In allegiance to you. From the throne flows a river of renewal. Be strong, take heart. This is not of our own strength and not of our own heart, but you are pulling us together. And so when things come to the light, whether intentionally or unintentionally, may you clothe us with your love that binds everything together in perfect harmony, even when those moments are as ugly as it gets. Thank you for your sacrifice, Jesus. Thank you for your cross that gives us a place, a ground to stand on when we're navigating all of these lesser freedoms that we believe about ourselves or that we choose. Whatever it may be. But God, we confess those things to you this morning. Because we know that you're there asking us, where are you? I want to see you. All of you. In the same voice, we say, we want to see all of you, Jesus. We need all of you to get us through whatever it is that we're navigating. So give us the courage to continue on this path of being exercised in unfiltered honesty, radical transparency in community and encouragement. Help us to build each other up. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, meet us in those places. We hold out our heart to you, shaking and scared and angry and upset and worried and fearful, and you will always meet us there. Would we be brave enough to bring you those things? Would you open our ears to hear how you want it, what you want us to do with them? That it's legit to be afraid of some things, but that in you healing those things in us, in you covering us with your goodness, with your truth, and with your freedom, rather than hiding behind anything that's stopping us from even being able to hear you, Jesus. You will do the work in us. Could we be brave enough to show up? Thank you for taking our fear and covering it over and over and over. We're so grateful for you, Lord. We give ourselves to you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen.
This has been the City Beautiful Church podcast. To stay connected, follow us on social everywhere at City Beautiful CH. We hope you join us again soon.